888-789-9789.
Hello, hi, attention everyone.
This is going to be a great show.
And it's the choice of a new generation.
And now, it's time for Run With It, your home for all things sports. Headlines, scoops, and gossip. Join Run With It now. 615-844-5600. 615-844-5600. Run With It is brought to you by Smiles by Design, Boomba's Craft Pizza and Tap House, Red Rose Hype Shop, and Bite Dentistry. And now, here are your hosts of Run With It, General Patton Cook and Ray, the best bowler in the building, Dusky.
This is Run With It. Happy Sunday, everybody. Ray Dusky, Patton Cook here with you on a wonderful, wonderful, a little rainy, a little cloudy spring afternoon today, but it is a pleasure to be here with you today. A lot of NBA, a lot of Nashville SC, Ray, that one didn't end till the clock struck midnight last night, but good to have you in here, Ray. Happy Sunday, my friend.
Sunday fun day, man. I am so exhausted. Were you at the game last night?
Well, I was not at the game last night, thankfully. I don't know if I would I'd be in here this morning if I would have watched that whole thing last night. Weather delay, of course, messed it up last night against Atlanta United and Nashville SC. Were you there, Ray? I know
it's
you.
It's funny that you stated
you
that.
And your son, Ray, are actually Nashville SC royalty.
No, I am not. I am not Nashville SC royalty. It's my son. I don't know what got into him. So, look, people out there listening, I don't know if you guys have heard the story, but my son and I, we went to the Montreal game Wednesday night. And he's starting to become, like, really, like, a number one, like, fan, like, first rounder, if you will, like, yeah. Zach likes to call them as first rounder fans, right? He's becoming that for Nashville SC. And we were at the game. He was super stoked in it and all that stuff. He was into, like, he won't hang out with me. He's like, Dad, leave me alone. I'm watching the game. I'm like, sorry, son. I didn't mean to come into your space.
Don't mind me.
So we're doing the game and we're watching it. We're getting into it, whatever. And then before you know it, I see, like, Ari's talking to my little guy's talking to, like, the camera. And I'm just like, what's going on? And I was like, oh, it's just probably from the Jumbotron or something he's having. Let him knock himself out. Lo and behold, after we got out of the game, my buddy plays this thing on his phone. And I'm like, oh, did you and it's my son, like, saying, like, whatever. And I'm like, did you record that? He says, no, that's on the Nashville SC Twitter handle. And I'm like, oh, man, my little guy just went viral about how he's like, we got the dub, what all this stuff. He's going nuts out. And apparently their Instagram and their Twitter got, like, destroyed because of this. I don't know what happened. People wanting more of this. They kept calling him King. Buck Rising actually also retweeted him. It was actually a lot of fun, whatever. And then we go last night to the game. We go to the game last night, and, like, everyone's like, hey, it's the Twitter kid. Like, they just, like, the roadies are all, they recognize them. And, of course, he's loving it.
Oh, yeah.
And so I go down. We go to the very first part of, like, the back line, mm-hmm. which is basically the entire fan base of the roadies, the assemblies, all those guys. That's the entire all coming together. That's called the back line, right? And we get down there, and my brother-in-law checks my son because he's a roadie, and he's, like, real invested as, more or less, like, the fan base for the Nashville SC. He sees my son. He goes and picks up my son. He lifts him up like he's, like, Simba from The Lion King. And I'm like, what are you doing? And, like, he lifts him up, whatever, and everyone starts cheering, whatever, like, hey, whatever. And so he had a lot of fun, and he enjoyed himself. He enjoyed his little night of fame. So, but I was definitely there the entire game.
You know, and that's one thing I've really enjoyed about Nashville SC is that they get the fans into it. And I think they know as much as any. You need the younger fans to get into it because ultimately they're going to be the demographic for the next 15, 20 years. And I think it's pretty safe to say your son is hooked as a Nashville SC fan. I do got to ask, when are the club level seats going to start to come for you? Your son is up there. He might be put in ownership group after his Twitter debut the other night.
So I don't know where my son comes up with these little liners. Like this. He's like the ultimate hype man. And like last night during the whole rain, postponement, whatever, mm-hmm. we were inside the stadium and you saw the big party. You could sit all over their Twitter account last night. And like one of the digital media guys from Nashville SC sees my son. He's like, yo, that's the kid. Oh, he's like, oh, man, I got to meet the king, whatever. He starts pounding whatever. He's like, dude. And like, my son automatically goes into, hype mode. He's talking about something he's got the Nashville SC hat on. Mm-hmm. It's got the big N, right? So he's like, you're in. Nashville SC, let's go. MLS, we're coming for you. And, the guy looked at me. He's like, yo, This guy's a hype man. I'm like, yeah, if you guys want to sign him, I'm his agent, and so is my wife. Reach out to us. We can work something.
You know,
work a deal out.
There are a lot of media personalities that are soundbite kings. I think your son is turning into that. But let's go ahead and keep on the conversation in Nashville SC. As I mentioned, they played Atlanta United for the second time in about a week. Of course, the first one was the U.S. Open Cup. Coming back in dramatic fashion, a 2-0 deficit. They cut it all the way up to they win the match 3-2. Last night, they had a lead twice, had a 1-0 lead, end up conceding pretty much immediately right after the CJ Sapong goal.
Right.
Then Hani Mukhtar levels that back up, gets it the 2-1 lead. And then at the late stages of the match, last night, Atlanta United ties it up 2-2. As for someone being there, what was the atmosphere like before the delays and then kind of after? Because like we've said, that game didn't end until almost midnight last night.
Right.
I'm sure the crowd, the 30,000, it dimmered just a little bit. What did you see and what were your interaction with the atmosphere after
the
delays?
When the game started, you could tell there was a little chippiness between Atlanta, you know, the Atlanta team versus Nashville SC because, you know, what happened just a week ago? Nashville SC knocked him out of the tournament, right? What was it, a 3-2 win, I believe, from Nashville SC? And I think that there was a little payback that was given last night. So it was a little physical, which most expect it. And, you know, I think that a lot of times they were trying to be a little too over-aggressive, which caused the first score by Hani Mukhtar when he got was his fourth goal of the season so far.
Yep.
And that was expected. And then Atlanta, soon after, I don't know what happened. They got lazy, what have you. Immediately strikes after, like, maybe about 3 minutes, and they scored the entire game 1-1. Soon after that, I think it was about the 18th minute, it literally went into a rain delay. And, of course, the first 25, 30 minutes, everything's just started. Everyone just said, like, you know what? We're going to take the party indoors or inside the stadium. We're going to circle the wagon. And all of a sudden, the concessions, the beer started going up, whatever. I did see a 12-ounce can of, like, Bud Light last night. I'm like, I know somebody does not. I know Nashville SC doesn't sell 12-ounce Bud Light beer in here. But
I wonder how this got in.
I wonder how it got in there, right? So, after a while, it just got really crazy. And then I think – the thing is, like, they can't start or they couldn't let people leave after 30 minutes after the first lightning strike. Mm. So people had to, like, you know, so for your safety, they kept you inside. So just like the fans just started staying in the first 40 minutes. It was like, it seems like nobody left. And then it started like, oh, and then they came back out. They had came back out, started warming up. And then soon after that, they saw another lightning strike and they went right back into the locker rooms. Yep. And so I think at that point, like, fans started to kind of go away a little bit. They started to leave. And then I think right at 10, I think it was like 10:07 is when they got things kicked off. And they came out and just the roars and cheers that came from, like, the fans and stuff like that when they saw the game was about to restart.
Right.
They got super excited. They were like, let's go. You know, especially my son who's just losing his mind. I don't think he can talk today. And so I think that after a while, then it got to that, you know, they got to sort of complete the game. And, like, it was a little chippy, a lot of bad calls. A lot of that favored more or less Atlanta SC than it did, like, Atlanta's team than as opposed to Nashville's, I felt like. It just seems like, and this is the second game in a row, where even though you got one tie, one win the last two games, they weren't very dominant. The last two games, in terms of possessions, they were outpossessed by the opposing team, like 54% to 47. And it just seems like they just kind of just regressed a little bit. They just changed their attack system. Like, they just didn't really, like, really aggressively go after the ball. They were just playing, like, bend but don't break. You know, we've seen the bend but break in the NFL. Sure. Much like that in soccer. They changed their formations a little bit. They went more or less defense as opposed to offense. They had a couple opportunities, but just the field and everything wasn't working their way. And so, because you got to tell, like, these players, they go in these rain delay for a couple hours, they get out of sync, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like, you know, just like you got to rebuild that momentum and stuff like that. They're bored being back there and they get tired. They come out, try to loosen up. It takes a little while for them to get going. And they did. And then they scored the second goal. And then at the 87th minute, it just came out of a fluke where defensively they just got lazy. And now Atlanta was able to tie the game up with, like, 88 minute, like, I think it was, like, almost the 90th minute. And then before you know, it was, like, 2-2. And then what's crazy is that there was another storm coming in. So I felt like the refs, even though we went into, like, stoppage time, they cut it a little short. They just kind of just abruptly just ended the game. And we're like, what? There just should have been at least another 2 minutes.
They want to go home.
They're just like, we're getting out of here. We're getting out of here. And I'm like, okay, that's fine.
Yeah, and one thing Nashville SC, they're known for is their defense. And we've started to kind of see goals leak through. You mentioned the sloppiness and maybe kind of just switching off defensively. And Walker Zimmerman, who I think is probably the best defender in the MLS, he can't do it all. I think we've seen that he can't really do it all. And kind of the other guys back there, Jack Mayer, Eric Miller was back in there as well last night just because of some rotation. And that's one thing I think we can talk about. The games are not stopping any quicker. They still got two more games in the month of May, and then June kind of slows down a little bit, only three games in the month of June. So Gary Smith has kind of had to sort through some rotation. He's kind of had to sort through how he wants to interchange this lineup. And I think he's done an okay job, but yet another draw last night against Atlanta United. Had the lead twice, ended up giving it up both times. And the games don't stop, as I mentioned. They got a game this Wednesday against Louisville, which is going to be a tough one. And once again, this is the U.S. Open Cup, the round of 16. So you win this one and you're two games away from playing in the cup final and winning a trophy. And Nashville SC's young history would be huge for them. And then they closed out the month of June, or the month of May, sorry, against the Colorado. That'll be a tough game. I think that'll be tough because that's going to be the last game before the month of June. Their next game won't be until June 11th. So you can really go all out in that one. But two big games next week, how Gary Smith decides to rotate, if at all. I think he will have to, just because of the amount of games they played this month, we shall see. But Nashville SC, it's good to have the home games really rolling on here. Not too far away from this station, oddly enough. But enough MLS talk. Time to talk a little NBA. And Ray, not enough NBA basketball going on right now. Of course, we're in the conference finals with the Golden State Warriors and the Dallas Mavericks. They play tonight, and then the game last night against the Boston Celtics and the Miami Heat. Let's talk about the Miami Heat game that took place last night, a game that they never held a deficit at all, Ray, with the Miami Heat. They jumped out on Boston early. Jaylen Brown had some late games heroic, but all in all, the Miami Heat have a 2-1 series lead after winning the game last night.
I've been watching this entire series, and it just seems like if you look at this Miami Heat team, who lost Jimmy Butler in the second half, to what was it, a right knee? It was a knee
inflammation, yeah.
What have you. Didn't play in that second half. Look at Jason Tatum, who I thought possibly was the best player on the court in this series. And is it safe to say that he's the most inconsistent superstar in the NBA?
I think you're spot on there.
Right? Because he'll have like, what was it? Hold on. Let me show you this stat that I saw. Like, it was just crazy about, like, what was he? 10 points, 6 turnovers, game 3, at home, opening series in Boston. I mean, it's safe to say that, you know, most of these fans were expecting game 6, right, performance against the Milwaukee Bucks.
We are back at home. I think that's the whole point. You're not on the road. And I've got the stat line right now. We went 3 of 14, 1 of 7 from the 3-point line, 10 points, and you mentioned the turnovers. That's not good enough. And you mentioned an inconsistent superstar. I don't know what you think. I don't know if there's such a thing as an inconsistent superstar. Are you a superstar if you're as inconsistent as Jason Tatum was? And he was exactly that last night. And you look at everybody else, they pretty much showed up. Marcus Smart had 16. Al Horford had 20 last night. I mean, I don't know what more you could ask from
right.
your starting five, except for a disappointing game for Jason Tatum.
Yeah, then if you look at Jaylen Brown, he also, you know,
40.
He's 40. So, I mean, it's just crazy about how this guy comes in. And, like, the stat that was crazy that I saw, it was after we were down 2-1 against Milwaukee. You see Jason Tatum's numbers, 33 points average, almost a little under 9 rebounds a game. 5 assists, 47 field goals. It just seems like, for me, that he just has these erratic offensive halves, right? Like, he'll have, like, a down half in the first half and the second half or a quarter or whatever, and he starts to blow up. And he's just taking over a game. And so many fans, you know, that are watching this series, especially Boston fans, are looking for that dominant performance in game 6. Yeah. I already said that before, but, like, he always bounces back after a loss.
Yeah, you can write him down for 35 in game number 4.
But my
doubt.
Thing is this about Jason Tatum, that he doesn't get the backlash like a Luka or a Trae Young, you know what I mean? Like, or a Ja, like, you know, like, he doesn't get like that, oh, you know, look at those guys. They're so overrated, whatever. Oh, franchise player, whatever. Jason Tatum just kind of flies under the radar, doesn't get that much heat back. And I'm like, well, he definitely is due it because he just shows that he's got erratic offense. He relies on the perimeter and his 3-point shooting. And that's what I think Boston does in general. And if it doesn't happen, it doesn't fall for him, then it's just like it's a different game for him. You see like the 10-point performances.
And this is his fourth season. You look at Luka and kind of Trae Young and all these guys, they've only been in the league 3 years. He's got that extra year on him, and he's in a situation like the Boston Celtics where You can say what you want about them for the past couple of years. They're a well-run club, and you got Brad Stevens in the front office right now, and probably, I think, one of the leading young head coaches in the league for Boston right now. They've got the pieces, and I agree with you, and I don't know what you think. Can there be an inconsistent superstar, Ray? Should they be considered a superstar? Because I don't know if I'd consider Jason Tatum a superstar. I think he's a star. I think he's an up-and-coming star. He's about to get this big contract here pretty soon, so Boston's about to back the Brinks truck up for him. But I just kind of have those kind of thoughts with Jason Tatum. Are you really a superstar?
No, because superstars are not inconsistent.
Yeah,
he disappeared last night. That can't happen. That won't work. He's just a star. Like he's just a bona fide just an NBA star. But in terms of superstar, no, you just can't have that. Can't be invisible, especially when you're in the Eastern Finals. What's that stat that I saw that he's the last three of the four he's made the Eastern Conference Finals with Boston or something like that? And I think Jaylen Brown made the last four out of five or something like that. Mm-hmm. So if you look at this team, they're well stacked. Many consider them the favorite to come out of the East to contend for a championship this year. And it just seems like even with Miami, who are missing players, you know, Marcus Smart, Al Horford were out game one. And what did Boston do? They laid an egg. And then they came back from game two. Marcus Smart, who I feel like is like the heartbeat of this team, was able to beat Miami. And then last night, it just seems like I can't put a feel of what this Boston team really is. Like, you know, are they good? Are they not good? Are they going to, you know, what's Jason Tatum going to do? And it's just the inconsistency just drives me wild. Like, I'm just like, dude, are you either going to do it or not? Because you're going to get the contract that I think you're worth. But it's just like, don't be disappointed if it's a little bit, because I think the inconsistencies are going to come back and they're going to haunt you.
And it's a fairly inexperienced team, even though they've got guys in there like Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. They came up against LeBron in his final season of Cleveland. So I think that's a great point. But before we take a break, I want to do a quick read for our friends over at FanDuel, and then we'll take Jeff's call at the after the break. But I want to tell you about my friends. The NBA playoffs are heating up, and you can make every game feel like Game 7 on FanDuel Sportsbook, the official partner of the NBA. Throughout the playoffs, all customers can place a no-sweat same-game parlay each week. You'll get up to $20 in free bets if you don't win. FanDuel has so many ways to play, and best of all, when you do win, you'll get paid faster than a fast break. New to FanDuel? Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and sign up with promo code WNSR to get your first risk-free bet on $1,000. Once again, that's promo code WNSR. And if you already have an account, you're all set to bet. No sweat. Either way, you'll get up to $20 in free bets if your same-game parlay during the playoffs doesn't win. FanDuel Sportsbook, an official partner of the NBA. Disclaimer, 21 and older and present in Tennessee, refund issue is non-withdrawable. Free bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Max free bet, $20 per week. Restrictions apply. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem, call the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789. We'll get to you, Jeff, in just a second. We're live from the Strike and Spare Family Fun Center Studios, Nashville Sports Radio.
Hey Nashville, Ray here. Many of us suffer from anxiety when going to the dentist. You guys need to check out my friends over at Bite Dentistry, where Dr. Lewis and her team are amazing. Bite Dentistry is where my family goes for all of our dental care. Their mission is to help patients breathe better, smile bigger, and live longer by offering a comprehensive selection of services and total dental care for every member of your family. Bite Dentistry is the only dentist in town trained and certified to offer the Vivas method that helps with people who grind their teeth at night or snore that causes sleep apnea. The Vivas technology is also provided for both kids and adults. They also work with a company called GarLab, which creates custom mouth guards, which are the same mouth guards used by the Tennessee Titans. Located at 3212 West End Avenue, Suite 301, Nashville, you can set up an appointment by calling them at 615-866-2129. That's 615-866-2129. And follow them on social media and online at bitedds.com. Hey, Nashville, Ray here. Many of us suffer from anxiety when going to the dentist. You guys need to check out my friends over at Bite Dentistry, where Dr. Lewis and her team are amazing. Bite Dentistry is where my family goes for all of our dental care. Their mission is to help patients breathe better, smile bigger, and live longer by offering a comprehensive selection of services and total dental care for every member of your family. Bite Dentistry is the only dentist in town trained and certified to offer the Vivas method that helps with people who grind their teeth at night or snore that causes sleep apnea. The Vivas technology is also provided for both kids and adults. They also work with a company called Guardlab, which creates custom mouth guards, which are the same mouth guards used by the Tennessee Titans. Located at 3212 West End Avenue, Suite 301, Nashville, you can set up an appointment by calling them at 615-866-2129. That's 615-866-2129. And follow them on social media and online at ByteDDS.com. What's up, Nashville? It's Ray from Run With It. Let me tell you about my good friends over at Red Rose Hype Shop. If you're looking to upgrade your closet with the flyest streetwear and brands like Yeezys, Jordans, Supremes, and much more, go see my friends at Red Rose Hype Shop, the hottest place in Nashville where you can buy, sell, trade, and even consign your gear. Follow them on Facebook and Instagram by searching at Red Rose Hype Shop. You can also visit them at 1187 Antioch Pike, Nashville. They're open from noon to 6, Tuesday through Saturday, and 12:30 to 5 on Sundays. And be sure to tell them that Ray sent you.
Hello, this is Greg Pogue. The first time I met Tim Leeper, owner of Tim Leeper Roofing, I didn't know I needed a roof on my home, but I recalled meeting Tim as a huge supporter of Hope Hines' annual charity golf tournament, and upon further research at timleeperroofing.com, that his long-based mid-state company was a former recipient of Roofing Contractor of the Year in Tennessee. Now in these trying times, we all should seek a comfort level personally and professionally. So if you have roofing issues, either residential or commercial, I recommend Tim Leeper Roofing. Please give them a visit at Tim Leeper Roofing.
Hey, it's Patton Cook from Run With It. Let me tell you about my friends over at Smiles by Design. Dr. Dwayne Jones and his team focus on providing you with personalized, gentle care that you deserve. Smiles by Design are one of the few practices that offer state-of-the-art, needle-free cavity fillings. I started going to Dr. Jones 2 years ago, and he has completely changed my smile. They are located at 105 Threat Industrial Boulevard, Unit 1001 in Smyrna. You can visit their website at drdwaynejones.com for more information, or you can call them at 615-355-1033. Again, their number is 615-355-1033. Or you can search for them on social media at Smiles by Design. So be sure the next time you're looking for dentistry services, give my friends over at Smiles by Design a try. And don't forget to tell them Patton sent you.
The world champs are back. The Braves are out to defend their world championship. And behind Matt Olson, Ronald Acuna, Dansby Swanson, Max Fried, and this loaded 2022 roster, a repeat is within reach.
Here goes Ozzie, 2-2 on the way, hit well. Deep center field. Might have ourselves a tie ball game. You betcha.
And we'll bring you every huge moment of the Braves 2022 season right here.
The Braves, live here on Nashville Sports Radio.
Welcome back to Nashville Sports Radio. Before we get to it, Jeff from the Borough, we got to pay the bills. So I want to tell you about my friends over at Smiles by Design, Dr. Dwayne Jones. Just what a guy. Been going to him for about 2 years now, located in Smyrna, in the Smyrna area. And one thing that kind of sets him apart from the competition is he offers needle-free cavity filling. So you don't got to get those shots into your gums. It's personally needle-free. They use different sorts of technology to get you in there, in and out of there, quick and painless. Really appreciate all that Dr. Dwayne Jones has done for me. If you want to call him, be sure to do it at 615-355-1033. He'd be happy to kind of explain any work that you need done, or if you want to locate him, 105 Threat Industrial Boulevard, Unit 1001 in Smyrna is where he is. I've been going to him for many years now. Has completely changed my smile. I can't thank him enough for sponsoring this show and just being a really awesome dentist to me and my family. I want to appreciate Dr. Dwayne Jones over at Smiles by Design. Time to go to the phone line, 615-844-5600. Jeff in the Borough. How we doing, Jeff?
All right. How you doing?
I'm doing good.
What about Adebayo last night. I didn't mention he had you, what, 31?
Yeah, Bam Adebayo had a great night. That's one of those guys.
He needed
Exactly. It's one of those guys, Jeff, where at Kentucky, you just didn't see the type of player that he is right now in the NBA, I think.
Yeah, if you look at what he did.
Y'all didn't watch Kentucky. You didn't watch him in, so y'all didn't watch him years in Kentucky. So, but he is that good, and so is Harrell, too. So I don't know if they're going to win the series or not, but they're up 2-1 now. So, but I was kind of surprised the Suns got beat, so I thought they'd be in the finals, but they got beat, so. Just the way it goes, I guess. But looks like it's going to be the Warriors, and I don't know who's going to win the East. Looks like the Warriors are going to beat the Mavs. They're playing pretty good right now. So.
Yeah, absolutely. When you look at, especially when you talk about Bam Adebayo, like he has not looked as what he's been in the past when it comes to playoff play. I mean, what is it like?
He was a big part in that bubble run,
especially. Absolutely, I think that was kind of what brought him into the NBA map, where like he was like, okay, he's starting to gain recognition. Yep. I watched him when he played in Kentucky a couple of games. I felt like he was an underrated player, and like when he came in, he was just like that nice missing piece, guy can attack the bucket, do the dirty work, go get some matchups, especially with guys that are in the East, like your Giannis's and your Embiid and stuff like that. And Embiid gave him some trouble, but I think that, you know, as a player, he's really grown up, and I think that he needed that type of performance he had last night to kind of like, okay, to East Miami fans, like, look, I'm okay. I just had a little bad run, and we all do as professional players. They all do that. Not myself, but, you know, in terms of
Boston did a little talking to you. They thought everybody thought the series was over. So
yeah, exactly.
Miami just told them it wasn't. So,
yep.
We'll see what happens. I mean, it's going to be, I guess it should be a seven game series, I would think. But I didn't want to mention Kentucky men's tennis today is going for a national champ. They're going to play Virginia this afternoon up at the University of Champaign, Illinois. They beat Ohio State yesterday, and Virginia beat Tennessee in the semifinals. So they're going to play for a national championship today. And I guess how you guys see the SEC tournament, I guess the LSU has a football game broke out over at Hawkins Field, didn't it?
Yeah, apparently so.
Was good, but LSU, how long was that field goal?
350 feet. Yeah, I think Joe Burrow stopped by to Hawkins Field.
He did.
Two touchdown passes.
375 feet, that field goal. Corbin kicked that field goal. Who was that pitcher that kicked it, y'all? Got another field. I guess Kumar Rocker come back, or he come back to kick that field goal.
Well, they would love for him to come
sure
back after yesterday's pitching
or the series.
He's in the independent league trying to get better. Like I said, Corbin tore up his arm, pitch him 160 pitch, whatever it is.
Right.
Tore up his life. But, you know, Bam is not that good this year in Tennessee. It's pretty good if they found that coming up Kentucky Proud Park that they got whipped twice. So they'll find that out. If I know Vanderbilt, do you think Vanderbilt will play Tennessee again? They said they'd get whoever Vanderbilt plays in the tournament, they'd get the Vanderbilt.
I think Vandy fans are hoping not. I don't think they want to see Tennessee.
Speaking of
again.
Touchdowns, what did they score in the first game against Mississippi State? What, 27 runs?
Yeah. Mississippi State's pretty bad today.
Yeah.
They had a losing record this year, so they're not even going to make it. But I did want to mention one final thing to guys. Middle Tennessee's in the Conference USA tournament, of course. They really can't beat Southern Miss. They ain't beat them in 8 years. They're 1-24 against them. So they got beat the last two games combined, 27-0. Mm-hmm. So they can't beat them. But I'm hoping they can win the conference tournament. I think it's the only way they can get in. I was mentioning an article that said they might be getting that large bid because they beat Auburn 2 out of 3 and they've got some other good wins. But I just don't know if they, whether or not their RPI is about 47-48. And I know, I can say that this next week or two, I guess it's next Sunday or Monday, whenever they do the pairing, I guess we'll find out. But to me, they've got to win at least a couple games in the conference tournament, make a little bit of a run to have a chance. I think they've got close to 30 wins now or something like that. So if they can win a couple of that, they will. But guys hang in there. And also, you think John Moran will get some players around him, or are they going to draft anybody, or is it going to be the Memphis Ferrans next year? What do you think?
Well, who do we have last week? Was it Eric Hasseltine?
Yep.
And it looks like what they're trying to do is they were supposed to have 3 first-round picks last this coming-up draft, and I think they only got 2 because Portland did what they did. And they're, of course, now they're pretty high draft picks. They're towards the end of the first round, but they definitely have ammunition to move up, and it seems like that's what they're trying to do. I think their makeup is basically just build through the draft, build the talent there, because we all know Memphis is not a destination place for a lot of these NBA players. So, and a lot of times they might be reluctant to bring a player in because they love the chemistry they have now. You got, what, five players or under their fifth-year contract.
And
so,
you got to worry about the max contract.
Max contract.
For John Morant.
Exactly. And, you know, who knows what's going to happen there. But they
do you think Morant would possibly leave? Go somewhere else.
I mean, hey, it's the NBA. Anything's possible. Right. I mean, it's
loyalty is no.
But
more.
Did you see what Patrick Beverley said? Like he's like with Damian Lillard. He's just like the same thing that happened with he made that comment on ESPN because him and Damian Lillard kept going back and forth because of the comments he made about Chris Paul.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And he's like, well, like, and he tried to compare the two between him and Chris Paul, what have you. And Damian Lillard was just like, you know. He fell into that love, and he just didn't really like Eclipse. He didn't really build himself because he just got love with one team, and he stayed with them. And look, he's not been able to chase a championship, and Portland's one of the same things. Does Ja follow that same route? Maybe, maybe not. You know,
like you guys said, there's not any loyalty anymore, like you say. It's all about the almighty a dollar and all that stuff.
And the legacy. I think legacy is big a part as anything in the NBA now. Guys aren't going to just sit around and go in perennial first-round knockouts anymore.
Oh, no, that's true. They're not. I mean, that's true. You've got to make some hay and make some noise if you're gonna do something. But guys, have a great rest of the weekend. See?
You too,
you too, Jeff. And he brought up Vandy. I was stunned this weekend because they had as good a shot to get a 4 or 5 seed in the SEC tournament. They've dropped all the way down to 8, I think, is where they are. So they're playing the 8 and 9. They lose that first round game, they're out of the SEC tournament, and I think they're hopes and dreams of hosting a regional are gone, and they might be gone anyway after the weekend that they had against LSU. But the bats were there on and off maybe this weekend, but the pitching, I tell you what, specifically yesterday, they had Chris McElveen on the bump, and that is a weekend to forget for the Vandy boys.
But which is crazy that even though they're not that good this year, 39 wins is not good. You would think that 39 wins would be solid for a lot
for
of like baseball programs, right?
You'd hang that in the rafters.
So what did they finish in the top 24? Were they 23rd?
Yeah, they were 22, 23, depending on the rankings.
Because they were going back and forth between 24th and 21st. And like, you know, they're back in at 25. I'll take that.
I think they are what they are. And LSU's a hot team that was hitting as good as anybody.
Right.
Behind Tennessee, of course. That no one's touching what Tennessee has been doing. So I think Vandy is what they are this year. They got some young guys, but some experienced guys in there. And their pitching staff, you look at it, their two best guys are freshmen. And it's hard to win a College World Series. It's hard to win the SEC like that. You look at Tennessee, most of these guys are drawing Social Security at this point.
Right.
They're 24, 25,
they
a lot
sure
of them.
Are.
So, and that's what we've seen. The same thing with Mississippi State last year. You had a lot of fifth and sixth-year seniors because of the COVID year. So I think this year for Vandy, it's one of those rebuild years. It's a rebuild year where you're in the top 25. Not what Vandy fans want or expect, but I think the reality is what you've seen from them this season, I think they are what they are.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm right there with you. And I'm like I said, like every program is going to have a down season.
Yeah.
For Vandy, it's 39 wins,
right?
So you can't really beat that. And I think that what really concerns me, what are they, under 500 in terms of SEC play? That's quite concerning for me.
Yeah, getting swept yesterday, and Tim Corbin, who's as class personified maybe as anybody in college baseball, he didn't. So they have the kind of post game stuff. Mm-hmm. He declined that. He did not come out there yesterday. So he was pretty livid, I think, with his team. He declined to comment. I believe it was Spencer Jones that went out there and talked for the team, which is odd to me. You just don't see that very much from Tim Corbin. He's usually a guy that he goes out and faces the music. Last night and yesterday declined to do so. So we'll see where they lead up. Got a win on Tuesday. You have that game here on Nashville Sports Radio. I think 4:30 is first pitch for that one. So if you lose that one, you're out of the SEC tournament, and your chances of really hosting anything are pretty much out the door. Well, we're going to send it to a break. When we come back, Jimbo Fisher and Nick Saban, they got a cage match scheduled.
They do.
We're going to talk about it. If you want to give us a call, talk about that, the NBA, any NFL news you want to talk about, do it. 615-844-5600. Ray, you got a message for us.
Yeah, before we go to the break, I got to tell you about my friends over at Boom Boz Craft Pizza and Tap House. I've been going there for some time now. I play poker there Monday nights, the one that's in the East location. And we have a lot of fun there. It's always like anywhere between 8 to 12, you know, players, 2 tables, what have you. It's a lot of fun, a lot of drinks, a lot of jokes, what have you. A lot of them, more or less sport fans, what have you, right? And so if you guys want pizza or you're like craving for something new or a nice place to play or hang out, take up the family, check out my friends over at Boom Boz Craft Pizza and Tap House. I mean, you've got several locations. You've got East Nashville. You got Bellevue. You even got, guess where? Spring Hill and Murfreesboro. And if you go on and look for all those locations, see what they have, craft pizzas and, you know, great tap beer, check them out at boomboz.com. You can find anything you want on there, order online, or they've got an app. They do everything. They've got everything you possibly want. If you like playing poker, come hang out with me at East Nashville. I'm there every Monday at 7 o'clock. If you like doing trivia, if you feel like you know all trivia, I'm talking about you know everything, they have trivia night Wednesday nights. Not only at their location, East Nashville, but they also have in Bellevue. So that's what I said. Come hang out with us. Come check them out. Be sure to tell them that Ray sent you. Boom, boomboz.com, where you can check yourself. Boom Boz Pizza, Craft House. We'll be right back here for a little talk of Nick Saban and Jeff
Petty
Fisher.
Talk coming yes. up.
Hey, it's Patton Cook from Run With It. Let me tell you about my friends over at Smiles by Design. Dr. Dwayne Jones and his team focus on providing you with personalized, gentle care that you deserve. Smiles by Design are one of the few practices that offer state-of-the-art, needle-free cavity fillings. I started going to Dr. Jones 2 years ago, and he has completely changed my smile. They are located at 105 Threat Industrial Boulevard, Unit 1001 in Smyrna. You can visit their website at drdwaynejones.com for more information, or you can call them at 615-355-1033. Again, their number is 615-355-1033, or you can search for them on social media at Smiles by Design. So be sure the next time you're looking for dentistry services, give my friends over at Smiles by Design a try. And don't forget to tell them Patton sent you.
Texting enrolls you into recurring automated text messages. Message and data rates may apply.
No way, man. You're not getting by me.
You sure about that?
Nice basket. Man, I am slowing down as I get older, but you're unstoppable. What's your secret?
I gotta tell you, taking Nugenix Total T makes a huge difference for me.
Nugenix, that's the testosterone booster you see on TV, right?
Yes, this is a legit product. The patented key ingredient is Testofen, which helps boost free testosterone and total testosterone levels and increase energy and lean muscle mass.
Are they still giving out complimentary bottles for people to try for themselves?
Yeah, and you should check it out. Nugenix Total T is a great way to increase lean muscle and feel stronger with more energy and endurance. And like the TV ad says, she'll like it too.
Yeah, I need to get a complimentary bottle of Nugenix.
Just send them a text. Text KING to 321-321 right now for your complimentary bottle of Nugenix Total T, the number one selling testosterone booster at GNC. Plus, text NOW and we'll include a bottle of new Nugenix Thermo, our most powerful fat incinerator ever, to help get you back into shape absolutely free. Text KING to 321-321. That's KING to 321-321.
Products and statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease or illness.
Let's kickstart summer together at Lowe's this Memorial Day. Keep your home nice and cool with our exclusive Harbor Breeze Hathaway 52-inch ceiling fan special value. Was $134.98, now $99.98. And get our Pit Boss Pro Series 850 Pellet Grill special value. Was $549, now $499. Take advantage of our summer savings this Memorial Day exclusively at Lowe's. Home to any budget, home to any possibility. Selection varies by location while supplies last, valid 519 through 525.
What's up, Nashville? It's Ray from Run With It. Let me tell you about my good friends over at Red Rose Hype Shop. If you're looking to upgrade your closet with the flyest streetwear and brands like Yeezys, Jordans, Supremes, and much more, go see my friends at Red Rose Hype Shop, the hottest place in Nashville where you can buy, sell, trade, and even consign your gear. Follow them on Facebook and Instagram by searching at Red Rose Hype Shop. You can also visit them at 1187 Antioch Pike, Nashville. They're open from noon to 6, Tuesday through Saturday, and 12:30 to 5 on Sundays. And be sure to tell them that Ray sent you.
Hey Nashville, Ray here. Many of us suffer from anxiety when going to the dentist. You guys need to check out my friends over at Bite Dentistry, where Dr. Lewis and her team are amazing. Bite Dentistry is where my family goes for all of our dental care. Their mission is to help patients breathe better, smile bigger, and live longer by offering a comprehensive selection of services and total dental care for every member of your family. Bite Dentistry is the only dentist in town trained and certified to offer the Vivas method that helps with people who grind their teeth at night or snore that causes sleep apnea. The Vivas technology is also provided for both kids and adults. They also work with a company called GuardLab, which creates custom mouth guards, which are the same mouth guards used by the Tennessee Titans. Located 1 West End Avenue, Suite 301, Nashville, you can set up an appointment by calling them at 615-866-2129. That's 615-866-2129. And follow them on social media and online at bitedds.com.
Lieutenant, can you tell us what happened today?
Our officers responded to a crash on I-40 westbound this morning. The driver of a pickup truck lost control of the vehicle, veered left, and went into a ditch.
911, what's your emergency?
We've been in a crash. Please send someone. My fiancé is hurt.
A front seat passenger was wearing a seatbelt. She survived without injury. The driver was not wearing a seatbelt and was ejected from the truck. He died at the scene.
Law enforcement writes tickets to save lives. Brought to you by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office.
Welcome back. Run with it. I'm Ray Dosky. He's Pat and General Cook. Strike and Spare Family Fun Center Studios. But before we get the show, talk a little bit about Nick Saban and his feud with Jimbo Fisher. I got to tell you about my friends over at Red Rose Hype Shop. If you're looking for like some of the greatest kicks, you know, Nikes, Yeezys, Jordans, what have you, go check my friends out. They got all this great streetwear, whatever you can ask for there. If you want to upgrade your closets, check them out. I mean, I've been going there for months now. They supply me with my heat that goes on my feet. Ah, you like that bar there I just threw out there? Yeah, they always got all the nice latest grades. They got all these great deals. I mean, you're talking about like Supremes. You name it, they have it. So be friends. Go check them out. Go see my friends Jenny and over there at Red Rose. You can find them at 1182 Antioch Pike in Nashville. You can also find them on social media at Red Rose Hype Shop. And be sure to tell them that Ray sent you. Patton? Nick Saban, Jimbo Fisher.
Nick Saban, indeed. they had themselves a little spat. Nick Saban kind of, I guess we can give the people context if they don't know what we're talking about. Nick Saban kind of started it off with basically saying, and I quote, that Texas A&M, they bought all the recruits. Of course, Texas A&M, they had the best recruiting class pretty much ever, one in their school history and recorded on all the sports sites, Rivals, 24/7, ESPN Top 300, anything like that. They had their best recruiting class ever. Of course, this is really the first recruiting class where NIL has been a mainstay. And Texas A&M, they're known for having quite a large collective, which is basically boosters putting together, and they got a big pot of cash to give out to the recruits. And it's widely known that is how they're getting the players. So you look at Walter Nolan, who played high school football in Knoxville this past year, was not heavily favored to go to Tennessee, but had a really good shot to go over there. Didn't end up doing so, made the switch over to Texas A&M and Jimbo Fisher. But, I mean, it's pretty much well known that they're taking advantage of the NIL, the collectives, and there's nothing illegal that they're doing. And Nick Saban said that they're buying their players, and Jimbo Fisher took exception to that, pretty much just calling out Nick Saban for being a hypocrite, that his past is a little dirtier than his. Don't be coming for me when you've got skeletons in your closet. All in all, I know is this, Ray. SEC football next year, specifically October 8th, Texas A&M and Alabama, it's going to be fireworks.
when you look at this Pat, right, between Spurrier and it wasn't only against Jimbo Fisher. He also went after Coach Sanders. You can't call him primetime because he'll take a fault to it about, you know, what happened there. The NIL, the transfer portal, is a game changer in college football.
Yeah.
And you'll have like your favorites in terms of college fans that are against NIL, right? Because when you think of NIL, you think of what? Free agency in college.
Yep.
And it feels like for many of these college fans, they lose that purity of the game. There's probably a lot more college fans that watch only college football as opposed to the NFL because of just the politics and stuff like that, which is fine.
Yep.
But now the NIL is in here, and I'm okay with the kid making money. I don't care. I mean, I saw there was one offer that was for one kid that was like $800,000, a basketball star. I forget what the university.
Yeah, Miami.
Yeah, Miami. Yeah,
he basically had an open recruiting.
Yeah, it was like $400,000 per year. Yeah. But when you see like these kids come in, and not every kid has the same situation, right? We've talked about this many times in the past, and this is not only us, but other stations and shows as well. That you know, when you see these kids coming into you know this space and what have you, not a lot of them have the same, you know, support in terms of that financial backing they would need. You know, when you see a player gets drafted in the NFL or in the NBA, they're like, oh, now I can take care of my family. My mom won't have to work another day in their life. Well, now, guess what? They could do that when they're 18 years old. And a lot of them are going to be coming into the NBA or NFL super rich. What's going to happen with Bronny James? What's going to happen with Archie Manning? What is their end ideal is going to be looking like? You know, now it's all to the highest bidder. This whole spat needs to stop. And I even saw something here earlier. Guess who got in there? The old ball coach, Steve Spurrier. And he completely backs what Nick Saban said. He basically said that, I don't know why Fitch is mad at Saban. And he continues to go on and say that he said, is there anything, did he say there was anything wrong? Like, did he say something that wasn't true? And he goes on to talk about how I don't think Saban told any lies in there, so I don't know what he's mad about. And he said that, since Fisher beat him last year, I guess he can talk now, referring to Fisher becoming the first formal Saban assistant to beat the legendary coach. Mm-hmm. Because he's like, he hasn't beat much anybody else, but he beat Saban last year, and they haven't won the division or anything since they've been there. You know Steve Spurrier, about clout, right?
Flying off the
hip. But he says this year he's got a team that could possibly go all the way, but I mean, it just depends to see. But yeah. I mean, he's like, did he say anything that was wrong? What wasn't true?
I don't think so. Everything we've been seeing, all the calls and stuff like that. Do want to get a call, 615-844-5600. It is my good buddy, R.D., who calls the Greg Pogue and John Burton Show. R.D., good morning.
Good morning, guys. Enjoy your show. Doing a great job.
Thank you, R.D. What is your take on this Jimbo Fisher and Nick Saban diva fight that we got going on right now?
Okay, I'm going to share that with you. I begin with full closure. I'm in neither camp. I haven't taken sides. But with that said, I've been a passionate follower of college football over 5 decades now. And, of course, there have always been verbal barbs exchanged between coaches. But I got to tell you, I personally do not recall a coach ever attacking another coach with such venom as Fisher did. I mean, how many times that interview did he refer to Saban as despicable, as being a narcissist?
Yep.
Not to mention, he accused Saban. Again, I'm not taking sides, but he also accused Saban of being a serial cheater and breaker of the rules without specifics. I just, in all my years, cannot recall a coach ever attacking another with such venom. And I think, regardless who's right or wrong, in my opinion, I just feel that Coach Fisher was way out of line by doing so. I'll hang up and get your comments. Yeah, thank you, guys. No. Keep up the good job.
Yeah, thanks, Artie. Thanks for the call. Call back, please.
I think he's spot on there. And I don't know what you think, Ray. That comment came more than just the recent comment from Nick Saban. That had been stewing up in Jimbo Fisher, I think, for some time. Because after the comment, he had almost a full 24 hours to think about it, and he still came out guns a-blazing like that, steam coming out of his ears. And you just go back. The audio can only do so much. You go and look at that video. Mm-hmm. He was spitting fire. He was furious on that on the podium.
He woke up and decided rage.
I mean,
what he did.
He woke up and chose violence that morning. But I, for one, couldn't believe it. I don't think we've ever seen anything like that in college football or even sports, at least from coaches. I mean, you see it from players all the time because they're younger and it's the heat of the moment and all that. Like Jimbo Fisher and Nick Saban, they aren't out there on the football field putting on pads and running into each other 80 times a game. They're on the sidelines. And I think that pin up from years of frustration and years of Nick Saban probably taking advantage of Jimbo Fisher's teams, but man alive.
So what is the most valuable lesson to learn here? Like, if you really think about it, do not believe when coaches praise one another or their peers, right? You just don't believe it. Because we saw Jimbo Fisher did it years ago on Twitter, like talking about the praise, giving all these praises to Nick Saban, working underneath him, the tools he gained, the knowledge he's earned, he obtained while being under him, to come out and just like, okay, now I'm going to just start throwing out receipts. And I had a chat with this one Zach the other day. I'm like, I wonder who's the next coach is going to come out and say something. Because where does it go from here? Because I can see the concerns with Nick Saban. Doesn't have as much money as, let's say, Texas, right? And even though he threw out there, like, you know, people have come through our program, $1.7 billion in the NFL. Do you want to be part of that family? Do you want to be part of that selective group, right? And you take that championship ring or one of the many that he has, goes in, and like, yeah, you come to, you know, through us.
One of a billion that he's got.
We're the pipeline to get you into the next level, which is the professional leagues. I've got friends and family over there. Let's go hang out. I can get you in there. Now you've got guys coming 18 years old, possibly going to make $1 million as a freshman. and you're on a team, and let's say you're playing on that team, like, and let's say you have other players that are like either playing with you, they're not getting any of that piece of that pie, or they're not, you know, they're not getting NIL deals. How do they take that? Like, how do they view from this? Well, because they're like, you know, and that's going to be another concern for that player, where he'll have to grow up and manifest himself as well into.
And I do want to give Jimbo at least some credit here, because I'm not going to burst anyone's bubble here. The notion that before a year ago, before NIL came into place, that college football schools, Alabama, Ohio State, Texas A&M, I'm sure even before that, all these schools, that they weren't paying players. And I think Jimbo, working with Nick Saban, worked with him for many years, he knows that Nick Saban players, they have gotten they've gotten good deals, shall we say. There's a reason these players have Dodge Challengers and Mustangs and all these cars after arriving on campus with a Nissan Altima. They leave it with a Dodge Challenger.
Yeah.
I know we're not bursting any bubbles here. Getting paid in college football, it happened long before NIL was introduced. And I think that's partially where Jimbo Fisher is coming from. He's like, this is nothing new. I'm only taking advantage of it legally now. And for Nick Saban to go up there on his high horse saying that we don't buy any player, that's absolute BS. I'm not hearing any of that. I'm not going to listen to that. I'm not hearing it. There's a reason why Alabama is what it is. Do they pay players as much as Texas A&M is right now for many years? Probably not. But there's a reason they got all the top players to go over there. Tuscaloosa isn't exactly a Nashville or New York City.
That's the truth because it's not a destination for these kids. Would you go to an Alabama, team, proven coach, or would you go to USC? I mean, if you're a kid, would you? I mean, anywhere in Florida
especially
University,
right,
Miami,
now with Lincoln Riley over there at USC.
You know, so like, it just seems like what's more or less like the attractive trip for these kids to go to. We just had another player that just transferred out of Pittsburgh, that wide receiver. He's headed over to where? USC, right?
Yep. Jordan Addison.
Yeah. So. But let's continue the conversation. We're going to bring a caller in. We're going to bring Bob from Bell, because I think he wanted to add some insight into this. He wanted to kind of throw some stuff out there. So let's bring Bob on. Bob, you there?
I am.
Hey, Bob.
What's up, fellas? I called Zach the other day. I'll probably call him back tomorrow. This is a real hot-button issue right here. This is it's an exciting, very interesting issue. What the government had in mind was that players could do advertising for some of these local companies and these college towns. You know, you're not going to see any, I don't think you're going to see any college recruits advertising with Charles Barkley for Subway. They're going to do it locally. And the government said they can advertise and be a spokesperson, go to special events, and get paid by the company.
Right.
It's just really interesting to me that these players have never been in the advertising business, but they're getting millions of dollars. These companies are not paying them. Now, the government, I guess apparently the government didn't say where the money could come from. That's the problem. This is an inducement. These companies, I don't think these local companies have millions of dollars to pay a first-time person involved in advertising. Right. How do you know that you're going to get your money back on that? How do you know that? I mean, you don't know that, and it's really ridiculous. It's clear that this is coming from boosters. These companies are not going to, they're not going to pay Bryce Young that much money for when he's never advertised for anybody in his life, the Alabama Corps. I don't believe that. I think it's straight from the boosters, and I just think it's going to hurt college football. Do we want college football players to go to the highest bidder? Is that what we're looking for? I don't think it's good for the game. Now, if a booster wants to give millions of dollars to a school and improve the facilities, improve the stadium, that kind of thing, great. And then you can look at your recruits and say, look what we have. Like up in Oregon, they've got that Nike money. They've got waterfalls in the locker room.
Yeah.
Well, I personally don't care about that, but apparently there are players that like that kind of stuff. That's fine. But to just offer them straight up cash, and I know this has been going on for years, but this is lottery money. I don't know of how many players have ever received this type of money in illegal. Normally it's a car, it's an apartment, they may give you cash. But we've never seen anything like this. Is this what we want college football to be? Does anybody care? I know players, you know, sure, let them make money, name, image, likeness, but that's not what this is. And one other thing, I got to say, I like the fact that none of the colleges are paying this money. They're not going to be told what to do by an 18, 19, 20-year-old. These players, want some of that CBS TV money.
They sure
do. Getting it. They want some of the bowl money. Alabama goes to a bowl game. Every SEC team benefits from that. They're not getting that money. And I told Zach the other day, if you just get to live on the Vanderbilt campus for 4 years, just live there, and you don't have to pay. You get your food, a place to sleep. You don't have to pay any bills. What is that worth? $70,000-$80,000 a year? Or if you're on the Stanford campus, and then you add in the degree, I really believe that the value of that is hundreds of thousands of dollars for these players. But they'll tell you they're not being paid. Is that real? No, that's not real. When someone pays all your bills for 4 years, yes, you're being paid. Now, it's not the percentage you may want. But anyway, let them make money from the – what are these companies paying people in advertising before NIL? I bet it's not millions of dollars.
Yeah.
And that's because
well, thank you, Bob.
Paying.
We got to run.
Paid. All right. Yeah. Talk about it. Thanks, fellas. Thanks.
Awesome. Yeah. Well,
we'll just let Bob wrap it for us right there. I mean that's what it says it all, right?
Close up the show here. Great points. Great show. We'll be back again. Run with it. 11 to 12, Nashville Sports Radio.
Hey, it's Patton Cook from Run With It. Let me tell you about my friends over at Smiles by Design.